Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the third episode of the Craft of the Draft podcast. It's great to be back for another episode. And this time we're joined by our first female coach for the Talent League. We have Emma Mackey from the Murray Bush Rangers. It's lovely to have you, Emma. How are you?
I'm good, Nathan. Thanks for having me.
And once again, I'm one of your co-hosts, Nathan Seppi, joined by my other co-host, Jonty Ralph-Smith. Let's get straight into it. Emma, you've got a pretty illustrious sports background. Tell us a bit about that, where you grew up, your sporting background, your way into the AFLW, and ultimately how you ended up in Murray's coaching team.
Long story, so I'll try and make it a little bit shorter. But I started playing AFL football when I was really young. I was that story that you heard a lot of the AFL women's older players talk about when we played in that time when there was no talent pathway, no progression, no AFL women's football playing. So yeah, I played football with my brother, grew up in a town, well, Albury-Wodonga, where I'm living again now, and played for a local country club, Gindra. And I played there I managed to play a season with the under-17s, believe it or not. I don't know how I managed that, but did a season up until I might have been 15 or so, and had to stop. So once I stopped, I went over and played netball, as you do when you're in the country. You've got netball and football, and all the clubs evolve around that. So played a little bit of netball before I then started cycling. So you've probably heard that, yeah, I was a professional cyclist. So that's where my athletic or sports career was mainly, and where it took me after my period of playing some footy when I was younger. So I went over to Europe with Australia, represented Australia at the World Championships, World Cups over 8 or so years. So I raced professionally in Europe and the US. Finished up cycling in 2012, I think. I'm trying to remember, but around 2012, and relocated back to Melbourne, and that's when it kind of came full circle. I was in my late 20s, and I've told this story before. I was reading the paper and Daisy Pierce was on the back, and I was talking about I think the VFL, AFL in Melbourne and how strong it was getting and growing. And I thought, oh, geez, I didn't realise how big it was. And, Googled some local football clubs that were near me, and Port Melbourne was where I was living at the time. So, yeah, kick-started my football career, I guess, or journey again with the Port Melbourne Colts before I went on and played for Hawthorn in the VFL. VFL league, two seasons there, was lucky enough to captain the VFL side and win the grand final in 2018, I believe it was. And then I was lucky enough to go on and get drafted to Western Bulldogs the following season. So I two seasons at the Western Bulldogs and then traded to St Kilda, which is my team that I go for, and my whole family goes for St Kilda, so I was lucky enough to finish out my playing career with St Kilda. So it was, yeah, quite a journey when I put it in that time. Yeah. But and then what else was the end of your question? I've gone up to about there. So
how'd you end up at Murray, pretty much?
Yeah.
Finished St Kilda, and yes, starting a family. So we had a little baby boy, and Finn was around for the end of my football career there, and decided that it might be nice to move back to Albury-Wodonga and grow our family here. So moved back here, God, guys, when was it, 2021? I've only been back home for, 2020, 2 years or so. So all my family's still in Albury, so they all live in Albury. We relocated to Wodonga. We couldn't cross the border at the time. It was COVID during all of that. So, and we ended up staying on the Wodonga side. So we bought a house here, and we've had another baby here. And so started working here, and I think it was probably wasn't long after I'd moved home, or 6 months or so, I actually started umpiring. My brother, who I was living next to, was an umpire in the Ovens and Murray League and knew that I played football, and dragged me to umpire training and dragged me into that. And so I started umpiring, which I loved, and was another way for me to stay involved in the sport. And then I had a phone call from Murray Bushrangers, and this was last year, and they asked if I'd be interested in coming and joining the team as an assistant coach, and also jumping on or doing a little bit with the boys where I could with Mark Brown. And so something that's always interested me and something that I've wanted to get back into. I did a little bit of coaching when I was in Melbourne, and really passionate about being that mentor and growing the sport back home and I guess supporting and developing the local players here and helping them go on and be the best footballers or best people that they can be. So it was a great fit, great opportunity, and loved being on board last year, and it's evolved to where it is this year.
Certainly, and there has been great evolution in female sport, and that's a really good summary that you provide. Now entering obviously your second season with the Murray Bushrangers, you're the senior coach, so taking care of your own side for the first time. I'm not speaking out of school by saying that. Is that true?
It's correct. So last year assistant coach, so first time head coach, and head coach of a football club essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talked about your own journey, obviously coming from other sports, which is probably common in the first few seasons of AFLW and even VFLW, that there were a lot of female players who played multiple sports. But I suppose coming through now, there are players who, have been in academies and that kind of thing. You were part of the Vic Country Hub as a coach recently down at the Hangar. Tell us a bit about the crop coming through this year and how that looks. We know on the boys' side, there's been a lot of media about how it's going to be a bumper haul. What about on the girls' side? How strong is it looking? We know it improves year on year. So how exciting is it looking at the, best 20 or so in the country, or certainly in the Vic Country region?
Yeah, it's so exciting. I think, again, just coming on board and seeing the growth in the northeast region has just exploded. So just here, we had an initial squad of 80 girls brought in, which is unheard of for the Murray Bushrangers. And, it exploded from last season to this season, and which is really exciting. But where it's really exciting is the younger group that are coming through. So that younger talent, and we all kind of say it at the moment, the 15, 16-year-olds, it's really exciting kind of area. But we still do have, strong depth with the under-18s coming through, some under-19s that we've even got here, some cross-coders that have come across. And jumping on board or now being able to be a part of the Vic Country, it's been another great, amazing experience that I've been able to be involved in, and is helping me develop as a coach and see the talent across Victoria. So I think, there's definitely some great talent coming through and a lot of girls that we're working with to develop and get them ready.
What are the traits in this draft specifically that are, I suppose, that there's a lot of, that are quite prevalent? Is there a lot of pace in this year's crop? Is there a lot of key position players? What is it that there's a lot of, and what is it that that's going to be a lot more of a commodity because it might be a bit scarcer?
Yeah, I think this draft year, I think we won't have as big a numbers as probably what we're hoping as we would like. I think that's probably not speaking out of school with that. I think so we're still trying to develop some of the girls that we're hoping to bring in, even now and hopefully throughout the season. But already from what I've seen, speed, athleticism, we've definitely got that. And then there are some of those key forwards and the mids that you see with the strengths that they have. So I think across the board, it's probably just looking at the players that are athletic and have the ability to come from another sport, because a lot of them still are coming across from sports where they've got the athletic ability and then they're able to adapt or evolve into the AFL space. So we're able to, I guess the girls that have the ability to gain new skill sets, because they're still having to learn or still having to develop their skills. I would say, you know, that it's a main priority, especially in the Coach Talent League. That's what we focus on 100% of the time, is skill development and development. So, yeah, I think we've definitely still got girls that are athletic, but, yeah, we've got some girls that are just natural kicks of the footy. You still get that even, you know, the younger age girls that, like I said before, those 15, 16-year-old girls that are having more time coming through, you know, like NAB and school and talent pathways, and more time with football in their hands, I think, more naturally. But even at this year's draft, you know, you're still seeing girls that have just got amazing weapons that they all bring.
Yeah. And you mentioned the cross-coders. Tell us about how you can use your experience and leverage off that to help them transition into another sport. Like you mentioned right off the top, it's something you've got experience with your cycling background.
Yep, definitely. I think, and that was something that was a strength of mine. So my strength was, you know, the conditioning and my ability to my fitness. So I was able to bring that across and use that within the footy, and also how I trained when I was a cyclist, and the skills that I had from that, I was easily able to bring that across to footy. I also played a lot of footy when I was younger, and kind of was probably one of those kids that always had a football in my hand. So it wasn't really foreign for me to pick up a football again. You know, I was never the best kick in the league, so I had to definitely, you know, focus on some of those skills again and that skill development. So it's probably just, you know, telling the girls, take on this opportunity, don't waste it. And again, it's just getting those fundamentals right. So a lot of the girls, even within my squad, that are cross-coders, you know, are really athletic. They're an athlete, and we can bring them across, and it's just working with them, and it's getting them to get used to the footy side of things, that the footy IQ will grow the longer that they're in the system. So we don't, I guess, worry or stress too much about that. It's just getting the basics right. Getting the basics right.
Yeah.
And I guess let's talk about now the biggest thing talent league-wise, I think, that has come out of this year is the separation of boys and girls programs in coaches. So previously it would just be the one coach for the boys and the girls, but this year it's changed. So there's a separate boys and girls coach. And I think it really does show growth and progression in the female game, and it shows a lot more respect towards the female pathway. It's dedicated. And I guess from your experience so far, and it's only been a couple months, but what are the main benefits you've seen in that coaching role and just having assistants around you that are solely focused on the females? What are the main benefits, and how are you maximising the output of these girls week in, week out?
I think, number one, it just says to the girls that they belong here. So, you know, from the outset. So it's not the girls fitting in where they can, and it's not, you know, we come on the track after the boys, or, and I know across the board, it would be the same as this, but Murray Bush Rangers is always one, we're one club, and so we share the facilities, and especially now we've got a male coach and we've got a female coach, but we all work really closely together, and I'm learning a lot off Brownie and Mick, who have been, you know, here long before I've come on, and even the assistant coaches that have been here, you know, for a few years before I've come on board. So I think it's just allowed a focus to be solely on the women's program. I've been able to come in and go, this is how I see the women's program, this is what we want to do. I've got the resources around me to be able to do what I need to do, what we need to do, you know, and to support me maybe in the vision that I've got, or, you know, three assistant coaches, we've got physios, we've got a strength and conditioning, we've got facilities where the girls can utilise the gym. And I know, like last year, we just didn't really have the time to have a program that could incorporate footy strength. Even I'm working really closely with our strength and conditioning coach, and But I think it's just allowing to have a, you know, a better, more focused program solely for the girls program.
And for the girls themselves, have you felt a bit of a different energy around the group, knowing that they've got dedicated people they can go to 24/7? You know, maybe last year there would have been a bit of a feeling that's like, well, they've, you know, these coaches have to sort of split their time. They're not really, you know, they can only dedicate themselves as much as they really can. How has the energy been around the group this year? Does it feel much more connected than usual? And I know you say about the club's a club and that will always be that way, but in terms of just the coaching staff and feeling more connected to that, has it felt different to last year?
I know the girls have been really excited about having a female coach because they've told me. So and I'm all for having male coaches coach females, and I, that can definitely happen and vice versa. But I just think in this space, the girls have been really wanting probably someone like myself to be able to come on board and you know, and take control and be the head coach and be a female and probably somebody that they can relate a little bit more to and come up and feel a little bit more comfortable maybe talking to or, you know, about certain things. But it's probably surprised me a little bit with just how much the girls have really wanted that in this region. And that's probably been the biggest thing that, yeah, the players have kind of just really, really loved. You know, I was involved last year and loved having me on board then. And when I got the role as the head coach, yeah, the girls were stoked and have really just said how much they really wanted me to get the job and really wanted a female as the head coach. So that's probably been the biggest change, obviously the biggest change, but the biggest thing that I've seen from the players.
And certainly that is the biggest change. One that might fly under the radar is there's also been a, and I think this is correct, you've got your own wellbeing coordinator for the girls and for the boys. Tell us about the benefit of that and how yeah, that's probably, yeah, the benefit of that.
It's the same as the strength and conditioning, isn't it? Like, we've got a strength and conditioning coach and the men's have a strength and conditioning coach, which allows us to just focus on the conditioning for the female players. Sarah, our wellbeing coach, I'm working really closely with her at the moment and it's just been great. She's been able to link in with the girls and we've had her really just weave herself into the program. So that's been, yeah, that's just been a great resource to tap into and have her there, and something that's really important, especially this age group. Even, you know, when you keep working your way up into AFL Women's, it's so important, and you can see the value in it because every club has invest really heavily in that. So it's been great to have that, come a little bit more to the forefront here and for us to be able to focus on it a little bit more with the players.
Yeah. And I know you have spoken about it sort of in a roundabout way with the way you've answered the last couple of questions, but when the AFL did announce the separation of the program, one thing it did say was that there would be a greater AFL commitment to boost the resources. I'm reading exactly what it said here, greater AFL commitment to boost the resources available to the Girls Pathway program. What does that look like in practice beyond just the two additional roles?
Well, I mean, yes, it's obvious. You've got, yeah, myself and wellbeing, and I guess the financial side of things, if there's anything that my program needs, well, I'm able to go to my talent lead and say, well, this is what I need, and able to utilise the funding that's coming through that is available there for us. I know, addition to that, we've got coach developers across the board. So I've got somebody that... for Vic Country side of things that works heavily with each of the talent lead coaches. So I can utilize him when I need him for anything, as well as anything through the AFL, really. So if there's, you know, anything that I feel I'm needing to bring on or need support with, it's there. Yeah.
Yep. And there's obviously a full season as well. It's longer. There's more games for the girls to play. How important is that, I suppose, in terms of the girls being able to, well, I suppose, firstly, be able to play a full season and get more exposure and get more games under their belt? Like you say, they might not have played they wouldn't have played as many boys many games as boys generally, but also giving them the ability to build into a season so that if they haven't had the greatest first month to the season, the pressure doesn't all of a sudden come onto them immediately, but they can sort of build into the season and, yeah, show what they've got later on.
Yeah, definitely. I think, Yeah, having I think it's 14 games or something that we have, and it's spread across, I think we finished in September. So it's actually a long season, and we've already had a longer pre-season. So we've had the time to really, although a lot of us kind of did come on a bit rushed towards the end of last year, we had a really good pre-season pre-Christmas, and we're having a really good block now to make sure that we can, have the players and the teams ready to go come round one. Then come into the matches themselves. Well, the girls are getting the opportunity to play, a longer season. We've got a trip over to Tassie where we play Tassie, and I know that's probably a lot of the girls will be really excited about that, and an opportunity to go over and play Tasmania there. And there's also some big blocks within that they'll get to go back to local and clubs. So we're, really important that we keep them connected and we keep local club football connected and involved. I think, again, it just goes to show the investment and, how much the AFL is putting into this and saying, well, this is really important to us, and the growth that AFL Women's is having and has had, and how important it is to make sure that we keep developing that younger generation coming through.
I wanted to touch on sort of the data and science behind female footy, because now we've got seven or eight years with AFLW now. So it's very well established now, and there's a lot of data to work off. I guess you've sort of been able to see, and you've been playing yourself, you've seen the trends in AFLW, what it really takes to reach that level. How do you utilize that data, or sort of the skill sets it takes? How do you use that in your coaching to make these girls recognizable to recruiters?
Yeah, well, I've kind of come in with a bit of a mindset of trying to keep things simple, to be honest. I don't like overcomplicating things, and I don't want to overcomplicate it to the girls, because at the end of the day, what the girls need to have is a really good skill set, really good basic skills, and they need to do it well. To me, if they've got a weapon, they need to be able to execute that and showcase their weapon, and that's something that's going to get them drafted. So I think the other thing that's come out of that, and what they're really wanting to see, is more conditioning play. That is even from a gym perspective, that strength side of things. Something that we didn't utilise a lot last year was, a really focused gym program, and even incorporating gym into our program. We just didn't have the time to do it. So I've done that this season, and made sure that our strength and conditioning coach has talked through the girls how important it is to do the strength, and how that connects to their football, and how important that can be for them executing their weapon or showcasing their strengths really well. So, on the other side too, it's looking at their fitness and where they need to be at. I work really heavily again with strength and conditioning around those things, just making sure that we're getting enough running into them. Are we getting enough speed? And those key being a bit more specific with players, in the midfield compared to players that might be playing forward or high forward or back or vice versa. So we can break those things down a little bit more. To be honest, it is still really about just development at this level. And although we get a lot more time with them, we still don't get a lot of time with them. So it's really focused on, skill development and just the basics. You look at football now, and we even spoke about it at level three, and I think with the skill acquisition and the stats that came out from the previous season, AFL Women's is ground balls. And that's a real area that, a focus area with AFL Women's, and it's real contested with the ground balls and still fumbling in that. So, then do we focus more on ball handling skills and ground balls, and making sure that the girls are practicing more in those areas, I guess.
I guess the girls growing up now definitely would have watched AFLW from a younger age, and especially the 18-year-old girls now, that would have been 10, 11 when it started. Is there a specific sort of skill set most of these girls bring into the development programs that you've sort of seen as a trend? You know, if they're watching AFLW and they see, okay, well, some players aren't very good at this, so if I work on this, gives me a better chance when I get, you know, higher up the ranks. Is there a common or a main skill set as that's very common among the development age group?
Yeah, it's funny. I think we're talking about this more so with the boys, how a lot of the boys now come and they practice the snapshot. You see the AFL men's players doing these snapshots. And I think the girls, they just sometimes for the what I see with some of our players is that they're trying to be too many things. And I think it's just focusing them in on, okay, where do you play? What are some of the key attributes for that player? What do we need to work on for you to be the best in that position? Or what's a weapon that you have? So let's just keep working on that weapon. Of course, again, like I said, we're still working on all the basics and the fundamentals and developing their skills as best we can. But I think sometimes it's just focusing, narrowing their focus a little bit more, because I think they see it all and they think, I've got to be good at this and I've got to be good at this and I've got to be good at this. And it's like, well, you don't. If you're really good at one thing, and be the best at that and make sure that you're building on everything else around it. But that's probably what I've seen.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, that's certainly that sort of language, like when you talk about weapons and strengths, that's really common in the boys' space. Is that the sort of language that's used in the girls' space? Like, how, I suppose that's the first part of the question. The second part would be how do you coach girls differently with what you're talking about compared to the boys? You say you've had some involvement with Mark Brown, the boys' coach, last season when you came in. How does that sort of differ to how you approach it with the girls?
Yeah, I think so the first part, just with the language around their strengths and their weapons and things like that, that's definitely the language that I've used, and I think Vic Country, we use, that language too. And I think a good thing about the Coach Talent League is with all the coaches, I think we all kind of generally we all want to help each other. You know, we're all kind of working together. It's not like really it's a bit unique to, VFL or AFL and really wanting to win games, whereas for us it's about developing the players and showcasing our players and I guess essentially trying to make AFL women stronger. So we all talk about, what are your players' weapons, where do you want to see them play, maybe it might be pairing them up with another player from another club when we're playing. So it's a little bit more individualised like that, but again, looking overall strengths and all of that do come into play. But yeah, that's definitely the language that gets used. In terms of boys, the boys and the girls, I mean, there's obvious differences, right? So it's I think it sometimes can be the language, and girls like to talk, girls like a lot of knowledge, they like to they're very visual in a way, so you really have to run them through. I think still with the boys it just comes a little bit more naturally to them, and I think they've just still had that, a bit more time, obviously a lot more time, that with the football in their hands, like it's even just the way that the football moves. I think boys are just a little bit more honed in to that. So with the female players, it's just still probably not as natural for everybody. We definitely have a few of the girls that they're just, I can already see that they'll be superstars, and it is, but so in that sense, it's still having to explain a lot of the basics and breaking it down and working on technique and I guess breaking it right down to the beginning and working up. So, it's probably been limited time that I've really been able to jump in with the boys, but that's probably been the differences that I've seen.
Yeah. To finish up, I want to talk about I'll let you go, Jonty, just so I don't finish up without you saying something.
Yeah, no, I suppose the only other thing I was going to ask about is in terms of AFL club directives and that kind of thing, how much background are you sort of getting and how's that evolved? Obviously, you've only been involved in, or I say only, you've been involved, this is going to be your second season, but how much background do they have? We know in the boys' side of things, they've watched them since they're 15, 16, and the girls have obviously got their future as futures as well that they play, how much background do AFL clubs have, and how much more directive are you getting from year on year?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I'm still really new to that space with the AFL recruiters and tapping into that area. So it's not as big as the boys' side of things, but it's growing. I think they're seeing that needs to grow more, and there needs to probably be a little bit more investment from that side of things. Personally, that's what I see. But surprisingly, I would say they would have a pretty good view or an overall view or background on most players, but they rely heavily probably on the coaches or, the talent managers probably to be grabbing that. And I think we do a great job here, and we've got my assistant coaches are just amazing at knowing, some of the girls' backgrounds coming through the futures and things like that. So that I have to rely on them a little bit more because I'm trying to catch up with that. So it's growing. It needs to get better, but, it's still there somewhat.
Yeah, now we're summed up.
And, to finish, I just want to talk about the progression of female footy over time and get your opinion on really how the game's grown and what to look out for in this next couple of years, because you'll be strongly involved around that. And I think it's not touched on as much as it should be, really, where the game is heading. We just sort of go year by year. But what is there to look forward to, and what is this next crop of female footballers providing?
Yeah, I think it's really exciting. So it's exciting to be a part of. I think, I was able to probably jump. I was more at the start of the AFL Women's, where I was a bit of, one of the pioneers in helping that grow. And now that that's grown, I'm now able to help some of these under-18s or girls hopefully realise their dream and contribute to strengthening the AFL Women's. So and from what I'm seeing, there's a lot of potential and so much growth. And like I said to you before, I get really excited when I look at our bottom age girls. It's just probably the most exciting part of my list, to be honest, because I know they're going to come through the program and be a part of it for, the next couple of seasons, and with younger girls for maybe a little bit longer. And those girls have already been able to experience football below that, and hopefully some really good local football and school football, and girls from around, a couple of girls locally have had scholarships down to Geelong Grammar for sports or football, and things like that just weren't around when I was growing up, let alone, five or so years ago. So it's growing. The resources are there to support it. I think the next 5 years, you'll see AFL Women's, I think, just keep going up, levels. You'll see the skill go up. And I think you'll just see these girls that just become a bit more natural to it. Girls that just have the, like I said before, the boys always just kick the footy with each other and kick to yourself, and just having the football in their hand more. And I think more girls will grow up like that because they'll see girls around them that are playing. They'll hopefully see role models that have played, and they watch on the TV the superstars and their idols playing AFL Women's and go, gee, I want to be like that. So they'll pick up a footy. So, and it's just going to keep going up. It's probably the best way to put it.
Awesome. It's very exciting, the female scene. So we're very excited to get into it throughout the year. Thank you very much, Emma, for joining us. And thank you, Jonty, as well. Again, how we look forward to giving you guys some more content episodes, and the season is coming up, so be prepared for some more content and more insight as the next weeks come up. But until then, we will see you guys in the next episode. Thank you for watching.